Hi, I'm Madonna Guy. Welcome to the Natural Alternative Podcast. I'm here today with Amanda Thompson. Amanda, this is her 15th year being a naturopathic doctor in Australia and has also just completed a biomedical science degree and is now studying medical stenography. So welcome, Amanda.
Hi, Madonna. Nice to be with you today.
Yeah, we've had so many chats over the last couple of years with the shenanigans going on the planet. So I thought we'd just sort of see where this conversation flowed, because you did a lot of medical ethics in your training and it doesn't feel like medical ethics is high on the list of priorities within medicine around the world at the moment. What have you seen within your training?
Well, it's interesting you say that, Madonna. I found myself in a very awkward position at the end of last semester last year, completing examinations, and here I was having to answer questions on bodily autonomy and malfeasance, you know, and beneficence and all these medical ethic terms that are ingrained into us that we must know moving forward because they're so important. Whilst the world around me seems to be operating in a realm where they don't exist at the moment, I just can't seem to get my head around how we're being taught we have to learn this to practice this, and yet that's currently not what's going on at all.
Yes. And it seems to be taking a long time for any lawyers and judicial reviews happening around the world where they're saying governments or CDCs or NIH or in Australia TGA and ATAGI, they don't seem to be taken to task for breaking the laws within countries. No. And one of the things I seem to be seeing, and I think it was, I was in an American podcast I was listening to this morning, but in the California, they're very much trying to change the rules so that anytime the equivalent of the chief health officer comes into play, they can make any laws they want to all of the people within California. So we're bypassing the judicial system. And we're bypassing the laws within Australia where it says we will never mandate jibbity jabs for our population, and we hear our Prime Minister saying these words, but it's absolutely not true.
Not at all. Not at all. And I think we've certainly lost our way. They have worked out politically a way to manoeuvre around the Constitution. So, you know, we've got to try and get that back. And, I mean, this upcoming federal election's absolutely crucial.
Yeah.
I mean, whether we're going to... Who knows whether we're actually going to get an honest election at that anyway, but all we can do is try. But at this stage, it's the only way that we seem to be able to move forward because, you know, in a, medically speaking, I suppose in the beginning, I was very frustrated at my own colleagues, medical, on the medical side, more so than the natural side. A lot of the natural practitioners knew where this was going before it started because we've been on the page for a long time.
Yeah.
However, after studying medicine, I can see that the problem is the system. And especially they like to get the medical students in when they're young so they can manipulate them and they can coach them, you know, how they want them to be. Whereas with myself, hey, Geordie, with myself, being a bit older, mature age student, being a bit wiser, having coming from the background that I've come from, it was so easy to see the writing on the wall. It's extremely dangerous, this game that they're playing in trying to get, you know, get them to think the way they want them to think. So, yeah, we've really got a lot of hard work to do and a lot of damage needs to be undone.
Yeah. Like I'm at the point where I'm chatting to clients who will simply never go to a hospital again for the rest of their life. Was it ATAGI or TGA yesterday? Or the day before, they're talking about opportunistic vaccinations. So if it is for our best good, they are allowed to vaccinate us when we are under with an operation.
That's correct.
And the children ones. So they are also allowed to sedate a child if the vaccinations are for their best good.
Yes, yes. I think there may be a few more criteria with the children, but... just the same, the wheels are in motion.
Yes.
So that they have free rein to override and do whatever. And that is scary.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, and I wish that the doctors, more doctors and nurses had have stood up at the start, but they have become part of a system where they know no other than to believe in vaccination.
Yes.
This is just it. You know, we've been tinfoil hat wearing, I don't know what they call us, for such a long time. And the few of them that are out there, the lovely functional medicine doctors and those that do know the truth, they also get put in the same category as us if they try to speak out to their own colleagues.
Everyone's an anti-vaxxer, you know, every conspiracy, you know, they just put everyone in together. And I've got so many parents who I've seen over the last 27 years who have children who have been damaged by the jabs. They are, they want safety within what they're giving to their children. They want safety data to be readily available so that they can make their own decisions.
Absolutely.
Senator Roberts was amazing in one of his recent interviews, I think, with AJ Roberts. And, Senator Roberts and AJ Roberts. But anyway, and it was over an hour, and he was talking about the fact that he's been trying for over a year to get the data. No one can give him the data on the Jivity jabs, on the actual numbers. How infectious is this Omicron? How many deaths are there? No one wanted to give anyone that data in a place of politics where they're having to justify everything. You know, we're $1.3 trillion in debt here in Australia at the moment.
Absolutely.
That is not going to get better with our current politicians.
No, that's exactly right. It's, but of course they're playing, you know, it makes me wonder. I think they're just throwing money around willy-nilly at the moment because it doesn't really matter. They've got a whole plan with the Great Reset, as you know, to just reprogram all this financial system.
Yes.
So I don't think the debt really worries them at all. That's part of the problem.
No, at some stage the IMF will come in and say, give us my money back. And then we'll just, it's in our, I think it was brought in 2018 potentially, that basically one day the IMF will come in and say, we want our $1 trillion back, and we're just going to all wake up with less money in our bank accounts.
Oh, look, I think that day's coming.
So that really was fast. Signed on G7 with the G7 summit when Obama was in Australia.
Yes.
And that was the one where Putin got his knickers in a knot and hoofed his butt back to Russia. And whether or not that was anything to do with it, interesting. But he's out of that IMF Rothschild banking system now. Interesting. Just interesting, you know, not saying anything, you know, but it's very, until 2.5 years ago, I'd never heard of the IMF and all of these things. And all of a sudden you go, I wonder what they'll do with my superannuation fund or money in the bank or, you know.
Oh, it's very concerning. You know, absolutely. It's,
And we're hearing these stories all around the world of parents who aren't allowed to see their, and it sort of seems to be happening a little bit all over the place where politics and medicine are just so entwined. Like there's cases in Canada where a father can't see his children because he's not, you know, fully jabbed. They keep changing the terminology of vaccinations.
Yeah, exactly right. That's, yes, you're 100% right. That's changed numerous times because I think now the definition actually includes mRNA.
It certainly does, has done for about a year. And
that's
still in an experimental stage, and yet they're already starting to create places in Australia where we're going to be making mRNA vaccines, and yet we're still in the first worldwide experiment ever.
This is
mRNA technology for the jabs.
Absolutely. And I mean, it all comes back to financial control at the end of the day. I mean, you look at the university systems. I mean, I can tell you firsthand that they're controlled. What they teach very much is controlled by who funds them. That's where it's at. You know, and unfortunately, even what experiments are conducted in the lab, you know, we had one lecturer that was fabulous and we got to do a couple of experiments with vitamin C, would you believe, which was absolutely, I did not expect that. And I was blown away by that. So a lot of them know the truth in these institutions, but they're very limited as to what they can teach.
Yeah.
Because whoever provides the funding, you know, they have to follow their criteria.
Yes.
And that's what I don't think members of the public understand. And as frustrated as I got with my own colleagues that they didn't stand up and say, go on strike earlier or walk out or, you know, because power to the people, you know, the more you have standing together, the better result you're going to get. But at the same time, they can't desert a hospital completely. You know, you've got patients on life support. You've got, it's just not possible. And they take an oath to do no harm. So they're trapped between a rock and a hard place. You know, on some hand, on one hand, I think they could do more. They could have done more and they should have done more. But on the other hand, because I've had a foot in both worlds, or I do have a foot in both worlds, I totally see the dilemma and how we've ended up where we are.
Yeah. Yeah, and I've got a couple of doctors in my family and they know nothing, nothing about the other side of things. Now, whether or not it's because they are so busy that they are simply only watching what the AMA, the Australian Medical Association, and the TGA, our Therapeutic Goods Association, and Atagi are feeding them, and therefore they're terrified and they're going to get every man, woman, and child on the planet vaccinated, and, you know, they've got this, yes, this is the only way forward. They don't see the other side of things.
No, and again, that's part of the system. You know, the problem there, they've just never been allowed to think outside the box.
Yeah.
And this goes back to med school. You know, I have a close friend, as you know, that I did biomedical science with, who's now in med school. And we talk regularly. And she's really struggling at the moment to come to terms with the fact that they're not interested in actually fixing what's wrong with the patient. They just want to apply this medicine and that medicine and the next medicine to counteract the side effects of the first medicine, and on it goes.
Yes.
And she's horrified.
Which is the way it's been since the Rockefellers took over the medical system in 1910.
This is it.
Or whenever it was, yeah.
This is exactly it. And getting funding to do, I mean, there are scientists out there that do know the truth that are trying to put more time and effort into researching natural products and natural, you know, remedies and whatnot. And there's been a lot that, you know, there's a lot of products out there that should be available to lots of people, but they've been put on the Schedule 4 list. Yes. Because they can't have people actually getting better. So
I was looking into ivermectin and all of this anti-cancer ability that it has. And then you start to wonder, okay, so there was such a massive thing worldwide again, you know, against these drugs that are Nobel Prize winning drugs, you know, on the safe list from World Health Organization, like ivermectin and hydroxychloroquine, that have been used by billions of people without problems.
Yes.
Such a massive, massive campaign against them.
Absolutely.
Totally phenomenal.
And, you know, and again, what astounded me in my first couple of years in particular, in the first year, you do a lot of history through medicine in part of a biomedical science degree at the moment. And what astounded me is they went backwards in coming forwards in stating how things went down. You know, there's a lot of scientists that were put in the loony asylum, you know.
Yes. Because,
and yet they've since been proven to be correct with their theories. You know, they were right. But again, so this has been going on for over a century. This nonsense, you know, of like the first, and I do forget his name, which is terrible, but the first surgeon that wanted to acknowledge hand washing, for instance. I mean, it started with hand washing. Yes. I mean, we're not even talking.
Yeah, he was put into it. Yeah, I remember that story. That was in Dr. Judy Mikovits. It was in her book, Plague and Plague of Corruption. Yeah, there she had that story in there. Yeah.
Yes, yeah. And the other, another.
Tell you what, they're awesome books if you want a bit of medical history.
Oh, absolutely. And the other doctor that came along and tried to, at the same time that cholesterol became, the big thing, you know, the be all and end all for heart disease and whatnot, there was another scientist that discovered homocysteine. And he was buried. He was stripped of all of his qualifications. He was stripped of all his university funding. All his trials were canned. And the drugs, the Lipitor drugs for cholesterol, out they come, rolled out. And, of course, these days we know homocysteine is a much more accurate representation than cholesterol will ever be.
Yes.
Of what your increased risk is of having a heart attack or a cardiovascular problem.
But it's a core deficiency of B6, B9, B12.
Absolutely.
You can't patent those.
Can't patent those, Madonna.
I know. There's so many stories like that. It's just crazy. Same with vitamin D. This huge thing for the last 2 years against vitamin D. You know, and how long have we been told, don't go out in the sun, you'll get skin cancer? Like the powers that be don't want us to do the things that are healthy for us.
This is it. You know? So if it's coming from a government agency in the world of health, it's hard because sometimes they are right. So now we're at a situation where you don't know what to believe anymore. People would be so confused.
Yes.
You know, it's it's really concerning. So, but yeah, and in regards to the vaccine, a lot of people aren't aware too, back to the medical history side of things, that, you know, the Qatar incident. If anybody Googles the Qatar incident, they'll get a really, really good understanding that this has happened before.
That remind me of that one.
That goes back to your polio vaccine.
Right.
Yeah. So that was when things, everything went wrong there. And a lot of children died. And then they had incidents going on for years with deformations and things like that.
Right.
Also, thalidomide.
Yes.
The drug thalidomide. I'm sure you'd know about that one.
Yeah.
And the on-file effect of that. You know, this is not new.
No one under 30, though, will have a clue about thalidomide. No. The other thing that happened with polio was that, because it was an enteric virus, I believe, and so pretty much as soon as people were presenting with the symptoms, you did not need testing. So... No. So basically the doctor would go, tick, yep, polio, and it, you know, so the levels were quite high. And it was sort of then as soon as they released the vaccines, all of a sudden medically they had to have clinical results from bloods. So the levels of polio went down overnight because they simply weren't allowed to do a tick box for polio anymore. That's so, right. You know, you release a drug, and you make it much, much harder to describe it. So people were still having the same symptoms.
Yes.
Of polio. So, yes. And I heard Dr. Dolores Carl talk about that, and Dolores Carl, and she's an epidemiologist and virologist, and she was involved in a lot of work within the UK for a long time within public health, and I think for the World Health Organization as well. And she was saying that the incidences of polio seem to be rolling out about 6 to 12 months after the rollout of mass pesticide. So were some people highly susceptible to pesticide poisoning, which weakened their immune system and allowed polio in their bodies? But there seemed to be some connection.
Yes. Well, and you are aware too, I'm sure, I'm not sure if it's come up in your other podcasts, on that. Interesting, similar scenario now. I believe it started in the UK and within a couple of weeks it was here in Australia, and I was surprised at how quickly that came through. It's now normal when they take bloods from you in an emergency at hospital, they test for HIV.
Yes.
That's never been normal before.
No, it's not. And, of course, part of the reason for that is that, and, you know, our guys here in the Queensland University in Australia, when they were putting together their first little COVID vaccine, and people were getting false positives for HIV.
Yep.
And as soon as that happened, I thought, well, that makes sense, because I'd already heard Dr. Judy and other scientists discussing about the fact that there's HIV cleaved, is that the word, cleaved into the spike proteins within the jabs in order to weaken the immune defense so that we can create a response to that particular, those viral particles.
That's exactly right.
Protecting.
Yeah, that's right. And of course, with each vaccine, your immunocompromisation state gets worse.
Yes. And for those, there was a study came out of the UK, and this was probably a good 6 months ago, where they were looking at the, and these are people going through the hospital system and seeing doctors. So I'm sure there are millions of people back home, you know, not going through the same thing. But the people going through the hospital system, they were losing between 3% and 8% of their immune system per week after the jabs.
That's phenomenal.
Yeah. So it just sort of, And obviously people aren't dropping over like flies all the time. So it really does come down to our own genetics and our own immune system and to the supplements we're taking and to our lifestyles and the foods we're eating. But it's going to be interesting watching moving forward this next 2 to 5 years old and next 2 to 5 years and sort of see how we have to support these humans, because I don't think it's going to be easy. Oh, I've got absolutely. So many young clients who are now on blood pressure medications for the rest of their life, or they're on warfarin and other blood thinners. And, you know, so it's been an interesting time.
Oh, look, it's incredibly scary, because are they even going to live past this time frame for a start?
Yeah.
We just don't know. We're in no man's land.
Yeah.
And although we have a lot of very, very intelligent, astute, you know, on the ball scientists out there, until we get 5 years down the track, we really don't know.
No, absolutely not. And I think one of the things that was said very early on in the piece by some of the fantastic researchers was that we don't know what we don't know. The human body has an amazing capacity for healing. And, you know, humans have always managed to thrive and survive given really horrendous situations. So hopefully that will be the way moving forwards. From all of your research, have you within your training, did they discuss any particular nutrients or substances that they knew would be good within this place? Like, have you guys, did that come into conversations?
No. No, it actually didn't, which was a bit of a shame, but I think because when I was still in laboratory sessions and things, because obviously I was very fortunate, I majored in anatomy at the end of my biomed science degree, and I was able to complete a unit called anatomical dissection, and we had to plan, design, and perform our own human donor body prosection, which was a wonderful privilege, and it's something I'll remember forever, which was a fantastic experience. But and it really makes you appreciate the human body, that's for sure, when you're looking inside of it. But at that time, I think it was before we sort of realised or understood exactly what we were dealing with this whole new world order situation. You know, COVID's just that one part. And again, even if some of the professors did have an idea of what was going on, I don't think they were game to speak out at that point, whereas now I think it might be differently. I mean, they made them jump through so many loops and hoops to enable us to be able to complete our lab sessions. It was ridiculous. I mean, I'm amazed that they actually were able to do it for us, and I took my hat off to them because the pressure that they were under, you know, a lot of students missed out because they had to cut down the numbers because we had to meet the so many people per square meter rule inside a laboratory. It was just insane. And not to mention the PPE. I mean, I don't know if you recall the first images that they were showing on the TV, you know, the scare campaign.
Oh, seen it in the last week in China.
Yes, of the actual full body hazmat, you would call them. That's what we were wearing in labs at university, just trying to learn. You know, it was unbelievable. I actually went and got, because I have prescription glasses, I went and got the safety goggles in prescription, and I still had to wear a face shield over the top of that. With the mask, it was just incredible. With the whole bodysuit, you name it, we had it on, boot covers, everything. It just wait, darling. Mummy's just on a session at the moment. Put it back, please, sweetie.
What is it?
Put it back, I'll tell you later. That's my daughter. So school holidays, lovely time. So, yeah, it's just, look, that's where it was at the time, and I think we were still a bit unsure. We were just sort of starting to work out that maybe this coronavirus wasn't as deadly as they were trying to tell us.
Yeah.
But because the lecturers and the good professors...
That alone just about gets doctors, you know, deregistered here in Australia at the moment.
This is it. This
is phenomenal.
It doesn't take much.
Control, yeah.
And, yeah, and that you know, I'm now at a university. I'm at CQU now, and I can say that openly because... they have issued emails to students, obviously, the last couple of years. I'm looking at needing to do clinic placement soon. And at the moment, as it stands, you can't do clinic placement unless you're fully vaccinated. And I won't be doing that. And if it means I walk away, I walk away for now. But the amazing part is they are allowing students on campus. They have openly come out and put a statement out saying they do not agree because they teach medical ethics, right? And they said, we teach medical ethics. We don't agree with enforcing these on our students. However, when you go on clinic placement, you're under the Department of Health, Queensland Health, and that's out of our realm of control. And unfortunately, you fall under their ruling. So we have no choice, but this is what it is for your clinic placement. So, you know, you do have some wonderful universities out there that I think are just doing the best they can, toeing the line. And trying to create opportunities for students and for people and trying to uphold these medical ethics. But I don't know how much longer, you know, we're hanging on by a thread.
Yes.
So I don't know how much longer. And I think this upcoming federal election it's crucial. It's now or it's gone.
I totally agree. And I don't think people realise how, you know, like I have kids who will vote normally. Well, yes, they'll be voting Labor. And I say, do you actually understand that both sides of government are exactly the same, Labor and Liberal? They're all being paid for by Pfizer. They received $1 million in Pfizer funding for the elections. You know, it's just, we have to vote the minor parties. We have to vote for the freedom fighters. I agree. This is the last opportunity.
Yes, absolutely.
Because we're so close. Did you hear about the United Nations and World Health Organization wanting us to sign a treaty coming up?
Yes, I did. Yes,
and that's by the end of August this year. I think they want the draft signed. So we're not looking far away.
This is it, and if we don't get a new government, that will get signed.
Yes, and there was one interview I saw that was, I think it was chatting with that Maria Z chick. You know, she's an Aussie freedom fighter podcaster, and he was saying that. Governments around the world will be asked to sign these treaties with the UN and World Health Organization so that at the next pandemic,
yes, under their full control,
we will be under their full control. 100%. And as Australians, we will have no rights. We will have to do what the UN and the World Health Organization determine is correct.
Well, there's a reason these concentration camps have been built, you know?
Yes.
And when you see the videos of the builders showing you that there's gas pipes going into the dormitories and there's roller doors. There's not normal entry doors. They're garage roller doors, lockdown roller doors, and gas fittings coming into the rooms. What's that tell you? You know, so, yeah, they're planning. They're doing a lot of planning, and they have been doing it for such a long time. And I think it's the trouble is for people who don't understand it, as you're saying before, for family members that are planning to sort of, well, they don't really know how what they're voting for, I suppose, is what you'd say, but I understand the repercussions of their choice at the ballot box, which is such a shame. And there will be a lot of people like that.
Yes.
And it's so hard for them, I think, to even grasp what's happened with the coronavirus and the vaccinations, let alone, oh my gosh, the rest of it. I mean,
and I think people are even still, you know, I still have clients who say, what's a PCR test? And I say, let's go back to the first month of the pandemic.
Yes.
A PCR test was released. It was never proven to be effective. It's now been proven to have over 95% false positives.
Oh, correct.
So those numbers, the PCR tests were driven by governments around the world. Doesn't matter who you are, where you are, you must get tested, must get tested, must get tested. So all these happily healthy people were being told they were sick. Then you might get everyone endangered, so you've got to lock yourself away.
Yes.
You know, so we've had people locking themselves away for weeks on end. I've got whole families now. I'm getting on average 2 cancellations a day from people who are not sick at home who have tested positive with Omicron or someone in their homes tested positive with Omicron.
So they're in.
And everyone is so worried about losing their jobs and, you know, and spreading it to their dear old nanny that they're not thinking clearly. Like 2 years in, come on. What are you getting tested for?
I know.
Crazy.
It is. And if we just, if nobody did that to start with, they wouldn't have had anything to play with, you know?
Yeah. And remember the cruise line? I can't remember what the cruise line was. Remember there were
the first cruise ship pulled into Sydney.
Yeah, the first cruise ship. So they were aged population. On average, I think the age was like 75 years old. Most of them were overweight. Most of them are seasoned cruisers. They drink lots, they eat lots, they have a fantastic time, but they're not the healthiest humans on the planet.
No.
Even within all of that, where they locked them away and didn't let them see anyone, they weren't getting sunshine, they weren't getting vitamins, mineral supplements. There was
they weren't getting fresh air either, though.
They weren't getting fresh air. But it was still a tiny percentage who actually died. Yes. It was not like 4%, 7%, 10%.
No.
And that was the worst case scenario in the world.
That's right. And yet they've turned, oh, look, the marketing campaign, Scotty from marketing, what can I say? I take my hat off to him. The marketing campaign has been
absolutely
the most impressive thing that's come out of this. But yeah. It's also the scariest to think that people are so, oh, it's been so ingrained in us, I guess, over the generations to turn on that box, you know.
Yes.
And to take everything that comes out of a reporter's mouth who has no medical qualifications whatsoever, that's my beef, and they believe every word they say is gospel.
Yes. So, and once again, follow the money.
That's right.
Our Australian media had an entire year where they paid zero tax as a thank you from the government by pushing the government line. In New Zealand, which is only a small country, it was $55 million worth that the mainstream media got in tax breaks.
Unbelievable.
Like, we're talking huge amount. Like, these are small countries, Australia and New Zealand. There are only 4 million people.
That's right. So imagine what's going on in America.
Oh, phenomenal. The UK. Absolutely phenomenal.
You just can't, can't even comprehend it, can you?
Yeah. I think early on in the piece, I was really lucky to come across a cheeky bag called Amazing Polly. She, of course, has been removed from most media these platform. Days, yep. But she has her own channel. And she was putting together the connection. What was the thing called in September 2019, funded by Gates and Soros, World Economic Forum? All the bankers were there. Mainstream media was there. It was basically where they did like a coronavirus pandemic. Pretend, let's see what happens. Right. They gave them scripts. They got everyone into rooms. I can't remember whether our Premier Anastasia, or it might have been the Cheeky Babe from New South Wales, but one of them was actually in there.
Oh, would have had front row seats for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. And basically the only scenario that was going to come out of that was the only way to survive from this pandemic was totalitarian ruling.
Absolutely.
Every group that got together and, you know, put together the same coronavirus outbreak, you know, pretty interesting. 3 months later, the first coronavirus outbreak happened in China.
Oh,
coincidence.
Look, and, you know, and I'm not, obviously I got into natural therapies because I love health and I want to help people as yourself, you know, that's why we all do it. And a lot of doctors do the same. But I can't help but think, you know, when this all began, I started thinking to myself, gee, if you really did want to intentionally do damage to somebody for whatever reason, you can see why they've done what they've done. Because as you said before, you know, unfortunately, the ones in our society, the aging, the ailing, they're the ones that cost the most money in our have the biggest toll on our health system. And I feel for them because they need a lot of support. And they've ended up in that position because they haven't gotten the right advice and the right guidance from their health practitioners that they've been seeing, right? So it's a vicious circle.
Yeah.
You can't really blame the general population. You can to an extent. I mean, they have to accept a certain amount of responsibility for their health. For, you know, we all do. Some of them just want a magic pill and don't want to hear about what they might be able to do to help themselves. But others have never had the opportunity to learn those things.
Not everyone can afford to go see a naturopath or a functional medicine doctor, you know. So these days, the fantastic thing about, you know, social media channels and is that there's truth coming out. You can listen, can learn, you can open your minds, you can find out what you need to do for your bodies, your health, your life.
That's exactly right. And that's why it's absolutely crucial that people like us with our knowledge, it can't get lost.
Yeah.
You know, we've got to maintain that outlet, the information outlet, to give people the chance to access it. But, yeah, I mean, because if you wanted to come up with something to, you know, remove these people from society, you can see how they've invented what they have, can't you?
Oh, absolutely.
For scientists now, I mean, the technology they have, so easy for them to do what they've done so that it targets specific cells in the body, specific receptors on cells, you know, for organs. But you know where they've fallen down, and the group of people I actually feel the most for is the athletes.
Oh, it's shocking, isn't it? Absolutely. You see your favorite famous athletes on TV keeling over.
Absolutely. You know? And the soccer players would have to be the ones who've taken the biggest toll.
Yeah.
Because they're some of the fittest in the world. And unfortunately, when they've been vaccinated, the same effect is going to happen. And because they're extremely fit, the receptors on the same cells are being affected. And I think that that's an on-file effect that they probably didn't think about when they invented all of this. I really don't think that was part of their plan, but it's an unfortunate side effect.
It is. And I think people need to know that they should. And once again, a lot of our doctors refuse to prescribe D-dimer tests.
Yeah.
So can we actually get them in Australia in any other way other than a prescription from our doctor?
I wouldn't. Probably not.
Yeah.
Interesting that you bring that up. Because they are governed, I'm sure you know anyway, the doctors are governed with what particular blood tests. They're only allowed to order certain blood tests, right, through Medicare that are Medicare funded.
Yes.
And if those first round of blood tests, they go to send the patient to pathology with their request form, and if those first realm of blood tests come back, I'll use something as an example. Let's go with the thyroid. So if you wanted to look at a patient's thyroid function or whatever, the classic test that doctors go for first is your TSH, your thyroid stimulating hormone. So they'll send the patient off, they'll get their levels checked of their thyroid stimulating hormone. However, there is, as you know, with every test that's taken, there's a normal range that they come up with. Now, the way that they have supposedly established said normal range is they have surveyed a large number of members of the population to come up with, you know, and they've seen, well, what's their TSH, they've come out with an average and they decide that that's the normal range. Now, if you go along to the path lab, your results come back, the doctor says, oh, yes, no, there's nothing wrong with your thyroid because your TSH has come back in the normal range. Well, what's normal for a start? We're not all the same. We're all different. Now, the trouble with that is even if that doctor knows full well that the patient is exhibiting many other clinical signs and symptoms that tell them that there is something wrong with that thyroid, they can't really go any further and request any more tests because they'll get the AMA knocking on their door saying, why did you go and order free T3, free T4 and reverse T3? These are the hormones that the thyroid makes. And they have to explain themselves. So this is the problem that you're facing.
So is that even if the client pays for them?
They can't do it through Medicare. They have to go
right.
to
the different So even if the client pays for them, they still get audited?
I think so because... Yeah. Their records get, they get seen. I know that natural practitioners, but patients have to pay a lot of money to get blood tests done through separate, like they wouldn't go through the normal SNN here in Australia or the QML path labs. They have to go to private ones. But who can afford that?
Yes.
You know, you're back to this issue again, aren't you? And that's where it's at. It's disgusting, you know? So like I said, I guess I sort of became probably even more depressed after I got into biomedical science, and that's why I want to get into medical imaging because that does help people. You know, there's no denying when you're looking for something in a patient's body, you know, a tumor, a lesion, a mass, a trauma, whatever it is, if you're scanning that, you are going to help people. You know, they're going, and I do believe in life-saving surgery. Trauma surgery is fantastic in the medical world. They do save lives there, but it's the lifestyle medicine where the majority of problems are, as you know.
Yes.
It's disgusting that they can't, like I said, doctors are very much, very much under the control of powers that be, APRA and ATAGI and, you know, the government, all the rest of it.
Yes.
So, yeah, they have to watch how many blood tests they order. And even in saying that too, if they were to order, there's even a quota, do you know, of TSH tests that they can order.
Yeah, my brother is a GP and he's been audited many times over the years, and it's only because he had a busy practice. So he's a mainstream doctor. He doesn't know anything about any of this. He's not interested. And it's very interesting because he's been audited. So what he had to do in order to not get audited every year, because Jim believed that if you worked a 12-hour day, had a two-hour for lunch, went off and had a surf, then you had a pretty good lifestyle. And basically, but if you did that 52 weeks a year, that was way too many hours. Yeah. So what he ended up doing was taking 4 months off every year. If he takes 4 months off a year, he still gets his lifestyle during the days when he's working as a GP, but But then he just travels a lot, and that way he doesn't reach the quotas so that he gets audited. How crazy is that? You've got a great doctor who wants to, you know, help people, and it's too much freaking hassle getting audited all the time. So he simply doesn't allow himself to do the number of hours where you would get audited.
This is it. This is it. And, you know, the next way that the, kind of speaking back to the politics again, you're so right about this politics and medicine situation, aren't you?
Politics should not be involved in medicine.
Well, you know, and I learned, as you know, which I don't mind sharing, I put my hand up to become a candidate for this federal election. That's a world I never saw myself entering whatsoever, but somebody had to do something, you know.
Yeah.
I was that distraught with the situation and what I was seeing and feeling and experiencing. I just felt like I had to throw my hat in the ring. And obviously I didn't get selected, which I'm very happy with, because I said I'm hoping that there are more experienced people out there than myself.
Well, how amazing that with your qualities and your qualifications, you didn't get chosen. So to me, that gives me a lot of hope that the people that they chose have a higher level of something, you know?
Well, that's right. The gentleman who did get my spot that would have been is actually a qualified dentist.
Was that One Nation or United?
No, that was United Australia Party.
United Australia Party, yeah. I heard Clive speak last week. Did you know he's a professor of economics?
Yes.
Yeah. I went, oh, my God, and every time he speaks, I think, now I can see it.
Absolutely. I said you know, I've got a lot of respect for a lot of the freedom parties, especially One Nation and Senator Malcolm Roberts. Oh, my gosh.
Oh, he's a dynamo. Absolutely.
You know, Craig Kelly, they've all
been. And now George Christensen's joined One Nation as of this morning.
I know.
That's fabulous.
Rebecca Lloyd from Fair Work, she has as well. She's thrown a hat in the ring for the Brisbane seat. So
and the Informed Medical Options Party, you know, so they've been fighting freedom for 6 years, 7 years now.
Exactly. So, you know, we've got a lot of other great parties out there. Totally. But yeah, what I was going to say before is with this whole, you look at what the Labor, Liberals and Greens, they know they're in trouble, right? They know that, I think they know they're a goner. So if they can't rig the election, then they decided, well, what policies? I mean, it's the campaign has started. So what policies are we going to throw out there? Well, you heard the Greens ones, right? Myself as a student, although I'm a mature age student, but what better way to keep any of these young people in medicine like myself? Like I'm like the nanny at uni, because or the mothering nanny, because all the young ones, you know, and I feel like their mum. And it's great because I'm trying to open their eyes and give them some guidance. And it's terrible because you can see how sweet and innocent they are and they just have no idea.
Yeah.
And they really, I mean, they're struggling with the study enough as it is. I mean, it's a huge workload to let alone know what's going on in the world around them, but I'm doing the best I can. And then you get the Greens coming out. And what do the Greens do? The Greens say, oh, we're going to pay off everyone's HECS debts. How's that for trying to get in all the young medical students and keeping them on board?
Wow.
Getting them back in the system. Any of them that just started to think outside that box and started to ask questions, oh, we'll get them because we'll just wipe their HECS debts. You're talking a couple of $100,000 if you're studying medicine. It's a lot of money.
That's a huge amount of money.
So.
And I think there's bribing like that going on all around the world. There are such ridiculous incentives going on to keep the jabs going. They're now talking about a third booster in the US. So they're calling the two plus the booster the normal now. Yes. And then the first booster and the second booster after that. So now three is normal, first booster is four, second booster is five.
Exactly. Yeah.
So the terminology has been changing for 18 months.
Oh, look. Yes.
And we know they're coming for our babies, you know, and obviously Teddy's four years old, my grandson, and I know that his family will jab him, you know, so I'm doing everything I can to.
Well, I've been having interesting conversations. Some parents might be a little alarmed, but what do you do in this scenario? And my children are probably a little more advanced in the world of their understanding of bodily anatomy and science simply because of what I do. But I've been having conversations with my 13-year-old son that, you know, we're not planning on vaccinating. I mean, my children, you know, are not vaccinated with any vaccines actually, but and I'm certainly not planning on giving them the COVID vaccine anytime soon, or myself. And, you know, here I am having discussions with him saying, you know, you never know, mate, where this goes. Sperm might become very valuable. Unvaccinated yes. sperm moving forward, that's how sad it's looking.
Yeah.
You know? And he understands that.
Yes.
So it's and
because we know that the spike proteins or the capsule around the spike proteins ends up in the reproductive organs. So we and that's been since April 2021. The first study started coming out talking about that. So yes. it's been it's very frustrating knowing all of this without.
Absolutely. Well, latest studies that were done, I think it was some Australian scientists that actually have established that if a vaccinated mRNA, obviously COVID vaccinated man, has sex with an unvaccinated woman, that I'm not sure how long they anticipate it takes. It's saying that they're claiming that we won't see the evidence of this for another 5 to 10 years, but they have established in vivo in the trials that it actually does, that contaminated sperm actually sterilizes the female's eggs. That's yes. where it's at. And given that the females are born with all their eggs,
yes.
this is a very big problem we're facing. So it's horrific. I mean, here I am thinking I'm going to have conversations with my son. He's going to have some very serious questions to ask people on their first date.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, what kind of a world are we getting into with this?
Yeah.
It's terrible.
Like the movie Gattaca, you know, have your blood work done. Let's see what, you know, how much detoxing have you done since the jabs?
Look, totally. Yeah. I mean, what an awful position to be in.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
But that's
and Malcolm Roberts, when he was talking to AJ Roberts and discussing all the data, one of the people that he had, you know, they had that inquiry a couple of weeks ago with, you know, Peter McCullough and some amazing scientists on there and doctors. One of the things that came out of that was that the normal number of infertility is 13%, or miscarriages, sorry. Hmm. The normal percentage is 13%. Since the jabs, it's up to 50%. If it's within the first trimester, it's 75%. So we've gone from 13%. Yeah. And it blows my mind that any woman would choose an experimental jab while she's trying to hold on to a bubby. One of my cousins lost her baby at about 5 months. Like, it's just tragic. That our doctors are not seeing it, looking at it, you know, and what's the likelihood? I was doing a distance healing for one of my clients in America, and she's been trying to fall pregnant for a couple of years. And it was right way back early in the piece, and she was a young teacher. And I remember when I used to see her here in Australia, and she was, you know, fit and healthy and a dynamic, gorgeous human being. And she was, she's a teacher. And she'd had Moderna before it was mandated for teachers. Her hubby had had the Moderna. I can't remember what he did for a living. But I'm like, why did you get it? It hasn't been mandated yet. And she said, well, you know, you should hear the media over here. It's going to be mandated. But people getting anything before it's mandated, when it's still experimental, has made no sense to me.
No, they don't understand, Madonna. They don't have the ability to critically think and analyze information.
Well, can we talk for a second about remdesivir?
Oh, absolutely.
So Dr. Brian Artis, he spoke at the Nuremberg, not that everyone calls it this, but the Nuremberg 2 trial with Dr. Rainer Fulmusch, and he was discussing remdesivir and how right back at the beginning he was wondering what's happening. You know, people don't normally die in hospital. They walk into hospital, they get treatment, and then they die. So can you chat a little bit about remdesivir?
Yes. Well, the evidence is certainly very clear now, which is why it's absolutely amazing. This is still on the list of drugs recommended for Australian doctors to prescribe COVID patients, mind you. I'll say that first. I looked at that list a couple of days ago. There have been some recent updates and there has been some new medications added to that list. But
are ivermectin or hydroxychloroquine there yet?
Not that I have seen. Of course. Of course.
I do something that works. That's
oh, crazy. No, of course not. So, yeah, so remdesivir. Oh, well, the statistics, as you're saying, and I can't remember the gentleman's name. I've watched so many. This is the yes. thing. Oh, my gosh. You just lose track of everybody's names. It's terrible. But, yeah, they have the proof now. They have the scientific evidence, the data. They've had enough patients and they've got the proof to say the ones who have been prescribed the remdesivir usually end up not coming out of hospital.
Yes.
So that's the end result.
So he was saying a month or two ago that it was a minimum of 30% that die when it's given with the mm-hmm. saline solution. And yeah. as of 2 weeks ago, it was still the only drug prescribed in America for 7-pound babies who test positive to coronavirus. So they can go into hospital with absolutely anything, a broken foot, measles. If they get a positive swab, they are put on a IV drip with remdesivir and it's a 3-day dose.
I did not know that.
Yeah, so it's the only drug. So that's why I don't, and he's a religious man. He's just praying for babies in America at the moment. And I don't know whether we've gone that far in Australia yet, but every time, you know, every time we keep hearing doctors in Australia, and I see these headlines, doctors in Australia are devastated what's happening to babies with coronavirus. And I think, okay, what treatment have they been given in hospital?
Well, this is it. And all of this started, I believe, the prescribing of remdesivir started with one claim that it was beneficial for one patient in America.
Yeah. And Fauci bulldozed it in from there.
That's the one. This is yeah. going to say it. Of course, it came from Fauci. So none other than himself. Yes, but it's his mechanism. It's the actual mechanism of action. Yes, yes.
It's available as a download, you know, so you can read it online. If you want to know what's going on in the world of medicine, which absolutely. I say, unfortunately, it's a must read. It is absolutely not pretty. It will make you angry. It will make you disillusioned. It will make you cry. It will make you so fucking pissed off at the system. Like, it is phenomenal, yeah. the information that's out there. And there's, I can't remember how many, what do you call it, proofs, but it's by Robert F. Kennedy Jr. He's a lawyer and it's just brilliant.
Oh, look, absolutely. But, yeah, it's the mechanism of action of remdesivir that does all the harm.
Yeah, so it shuts down the kidneys.
Yes, yeah, pretty much. I'm just trying to remember exactly which cells. I did used to know, but there's been so much information in my brain lately.
Yes. Some of it leaks out occasionally.
Oh, look, it does. You can't remember it all at the moment. Yeah. I've got two exams next week as well, so I've been head down bum up for those. But I wonder, what's the point? It's very, very hard to stay motivated and to keep going.
It is. And I think people need to have a bit of hope and a bit of positivity. And even though it feels like there is no hope, I think people are waking up. If you are aware that you go to hospital and you might be mandated a jab that you didn't want, there's other answers. Look out to your family and friends. Find someone who can help you, you know, in a way. Make sure you're aware of your rights when you go to a hospital. You know, I think people have to, and I know they're trying to take them away. They're trying to take away our rights at the speed of light. Like, that's one thing the last 2 years has shown us.
And the issue you've got now, I guess the staff that are left in the hospitals, the problem is, Madonna, they didn't walk away. They didn't feel that this was important enough for them to down and say, no, enough is enough. I need to stand up and tell people, you know, the ones that you've got left are the ones that are happy to take the payments, that are happy to take, you know, because if you know about the benefits and how much each doctor gets for vaccinating everybody is another topic of discussion. You know, they're happy to accept all of that. So this is the situation we find ourselves in now. The ones who are left at the hospitals, I don't know if they can be trusted.
I had one GP say to me, and this is pretty much word for word because I was having an argument with him, quite a vocal discussion, and I said to him, well, how do you know that you haven't killed anyone? You are pro-vax. because you are pro-vax, they're not going to come to you and say, I had a blood clot, I had a brain hemorrhage, my legs didn't work, I had a rash from head to toe, my brain couldn't talk to my feet, I've had bleeding ever since my jab. They're not going to come to you and say that. And he said, yeah, but I usually get told by the hospital if I kill someone.
Well, the hospital's not going to tell him anything at the moment because they're doctoring patient records to say that they haven't died of a side effect of the vaccine. Absolutely. I mean, you've only got to look at the tennis players. I mean, I love my sport. My son's big up in soccer, and I'm on high alert every game I go to because I'm unfortunately anticipating the time when I'm going to need to know where the nearest Woolworths or Coles is, hopefully near the soccer field, so I can do a stint run and get the defibrillator to save a child's
exactly.
life.
Exactly. And, you know, the other... Totally. And the other thing is, someone asked me the other day, she's had she had two AstraZeneca jabs. She's been having stroke-like symptoms ever since. So then she gets into her supplements and she sort of picks herself up again, but they can't find anything, obviously. The neurologist said, no, nothing wrong with you. Maybe it's MS in its early stages. She says, well, I think it's from the jab. Then they get, you know, stonewalled and they get told absolutely nothing. They don't write it down. And she said to me, should I be doing deep breathing exercises? I think, you know, my partner thinks it would be good for me. And I think, I don't know. I've always recommended deep breathing exercises. I don't know if that will make her worse.
This
when
is the
ever
problem.
Have I been in a space where I don't know. I don't know whether to tell her to go exercise.
No,
I
because
don't know.
Potentially, when you look at what's happening with athletes, that's exactly like myself. We've known that exercise is so beneficial. You know, like I actually took a unit when I completed the biomed degree. I did a secondary minor in nutrition because I've studied that before. And it was a sports clinical nutrition unit. And I had no idea. I mean, I've always known about the benefits of physical activity, but the research that they've got now to back this up is
phenomenal.
And it's just the how it decreases your morbidity, you know, your rates of morbidity and, I mean, obviously mortality, but compressing that morbidity just from physical activity alone, not even taking into account diet.
Yeah.
That blew my mind. Yeah. I mean, I thought you had to have a combination. A combination is best. As we know, you get even better results. But the fact that physical activity, however, we're in a situation now where the graphene oxide that's in these toxic poisons, whatever we want to call them.
Malcolm Roberts has a whistleblower about to, you know, some Australian scientists, Australian and New Zealand scientists who have been looking at the graphene oxide. So they'll be doing some whistleblowing soon. Yeah.
Because I've done a bit of research when we first I came across articles that were showing, you know, the scientists that had examined the leftover vials of the material for these vaccines to analyse them to find out exactly what's in them, because there's blank leaflets. You can't find out what's in them when you ask at the doctor, of course.
No, there's nothing this on page is left intentionally blank.
That's the one. Yeah, great. So, yeah, let's swallow it or jab it when we don't even know what's in it. Fabulous. So, anyway, a lot of scientists did analyse, thankfully, and put drops under microscopes as well on slides, which was very interesting to see what was going on there. But as for what's in them, the graphene oxides are definite, and it's in the AstraZeneca as well. It's in all of them. And one thing I did start looking at, so I did a bit of research into graphene oxide. Now, every single study that I came across said they had been, it's really only been around for the last 10 years where they've been experimenting with it, and they do believe it's the be-all and end-all moving forward with medicine and medication and the delivery system that it provides for the body, getting into the ability to get into cells and whatnot. However, every single trial, most of the lab rats, as you want to call them, animals died, and it was said a lot more research needs to be conducted before we even consider touching humans. Doing trials on humans, and here we are. Now, the other thing which I can tell you that
awful,
I came across,
isn't it? It's just awful.
There's no words. Glutathione.
Yes.
So the graphene oxide significantly depletes your glutathione stores. So replacing glutathione may be a key. I mean, I'm looking forward to what's coming out, like you said.
Do you use the NAC to...
Yes.
Instead of glutathione or alternate them or...
I think
NAC is an acetylcysteine, a precursor to glutathione. Yeah.
Yes. So I think, they know is your glutathione stores get depleted. So whether or not it'd be more beneficial to go the NAC route or give the glutathione direct. I'm not sure. That's what we need to.
The NAC is also a blood thinner. So Dr. Zelenko, amazing human being, love him. Yeah, so he talks about NAC as being like a natural blood thinner. So it helps to protect the capillaries from the spike proteins from the jabs as well. And also the graphene oxide is really sharp. So as we exercise, we're, you know, speeding up our heart and our blood supply. So and that's why I said to her, I don't know if you should do deep breathing exercises. I don't know.
Well, this is it. It's interesting you say that too, because I believe aneurysms are on the rise as well, which is another component of what happens. I mean, you've got with your arteries, you've got three linings of the vessels. So you've got the intima layer, the medial layer, which is the muscular layer, because the arteries are quite muscular. Veins have a similar, and the adventitia, the outside epithelial layer. Veins are the same, but they don't have as big a muscle layer in the middle. And of course, when you've got these sharp graphene oxide particles, you imagine, you know, this is a vesicular wall, and you've got this sharp cutting the walls, and this is how you end up with a blowout. The muscle gets weakened and you end up with the vessel blowing out, and there's your fusiform aneurysm or a saccular aneurysm, you know, what happens off the side of a vessel. So that's why aneurysms are on the rise from this as well. It's quite easy to see how it's happening. What's going on there, and worse still, if it ruptures completely, you're gone. Yeah. But we're also seeing what else happens, which is becoming more and more prominent, is the abdominal aorta aneurysms and dissections in abdominal and the abdominal aorta. And again, a dissection is where the blood will go in between two layers. So instead of the three layers staying, you know, quite firmly together and the blood going through the lumen of the vessel in the middle, you've got the graphene oxide creating a hole, blood gets in through the intimal layer into the medial layer, and then you've got blood going the outside and inside the blood vessel. So, of course, in the outside wall, the epithelial tissue, the outside layer, it's not strong enough and it's not designed to contain the arterial pressure of blood, especially in the aorta where it's just come out of the heart.
Yeah.
So this is, you know, potentially what's happening with a lot of these athletes as well, all leading to part of the problem. And I'm getting to look at these images on ultrasound at the moment, you know.
Yeah, and I heard this morning I was listening to someone who was talking about the mechanism of damage within the lungs and sort of saying that because I think he was talking more about the spike proteins that are destroying the lung tissue, and then your heart ends up building up because you've got this lung tissue that isn't
correct.
It's not working. So you're ending up with like a high blood pressure within your lung tissue. So people can't do their normal exercise. And I've got a Relly who's a personal trainer, and he's unjabbed, but he's saying to his clients, you simply can't do what you used to do.
Or they'll end up.
You won't have the strength. You have to have your new post vaccine normal, which of course we know aren't vaccines.
Exactly. Yeah. So that's pulmonary hypertension. So it's very similar to hypertension in the heart, but of course once your blood enters the right atrium into the right ventricle, then it goes into the respiratory system to do the gas exchange, let out the carbon dioxide, bring in the oxygen, and then it comes back to the heart into the left atrium and then into the left ventricle to be distributed around the systemic body. You get this backlog, you get the backflow effect because the lungs can't keep up. So then the blood starts pooling back into the right ventricle or the heart, and you end up with heart failure. Mm. So that's exactly what happens.
Wow.
It's and the lungs are under immense pressure. You have trouble breathing. And that brings me back to the tennis players. You have Rafa Nadal. Oh, it feels like pins and needles in my chest. Oh, but
yeah. And he was such a turd when it came to
Novak.
Absolutely. Novak, he was so awful. And I thought, come on, guys, you're all members of the human race. How about we, you know, show some care and love for each other, which is what Novak would do.
Oh, look, and at the end of the day.
He's such a beautiful spiritual man. I just love him.
He's absolutely beautiful. And what he's done is phenomenal. But I think Rafa regrets it, whether he or not he can get past the ego damage. And
was it 15 in Florida who weren't allowed to finish the Florida tennis Open
to the recent competition, 15 of them pulled out with health problems, and you've just got to love the excuses from MSN. I mean, with Rafa Nadal, it was a torn pectoral muscle.
Yeah,
okay, yeah, right. Yeah, no, my 15, experience and knowledge.
15, have you ever seen 15 unable to finish?
Exactly. Another one had, what was another one? I had blisters on his feet because he kept bending over. He was bending over, clutching at his chest. It's nothing to do with blisters on his feet. Since when are your feet and your chest?
Oh, my
God. Oh, my Lord. And the other, another female one, the excuse for her was, oh, she's just been unwell all week.
Yeah.
I'm going, yeah, that says it all. Unwell, interesting term.
Because this is what happens at the top level with athletes.
That's right. Like,
it's phenomenal. And so obviously Shane Warne's, you know, poor guy, was in Thailand trying to clean up his body, but he needed that third jab before he was allowed in the country.
Who'd have thought? Went to Thailand to try to get rid of the effects. You know, he knew, didn't he?
Yeah. I mean, he was pro-jab. You know, lots of people are pro-jab. I've got enough, you know, like you say, for 30 years we have been brainwashed to be pro-jab. I'm just lucky 30 years ago I did a thesis on vaccinations. And that was before the amount of jabs we've got now. And it was before Bill Gates and the United Nations, you know, joined together and said, yep, we want every man, woman and child on the planet vaccinated. If we do a really good job of vaccinations, we can reduce the population by 15%.
I'll tell you what, there are some good movies. You've just got to start watching all the movies, haven't you, that really shed light on what they've done. I don't know whether someone's come up with a crazy idea, a plot for a movie, and you've got Bill Gates and co that have gone, oh, we could do that in real life, or whether it's, oh.
Or the other way around.
Let's make a movie.
I was listening to Sean Stone yesterday. So his dad's Oliver Stone, the movie director. Yep. And apparently he's been awake for a long time. So his movie about JFK, which I haven't seen because it's like 3 hours long, but apparently it has a lot of the whole conspiracy stuff about JFK in it. The dad, Oliver Stone, put a movie out in 2015 called Ukraine on Fire.
Mm-hmm.
Discuss the CIA and all of, you know, a whole bunch of the deep state connections in there. So that sort of made me go, I'm going to have to revisit some Oliver Stone movies.
Yes.
And this Sean Stone guy, you know, they're working hard to once again, you know, be, I hate to say it, and I know it sounds weird, but to wake people up and to get the patriots rising and, you know, so that we can take back our body sovereignty in our countries.
Absolutely, because I think, Scott, my husband watched the other day, Contagion.
Oh, yep.
Contagion, is that the one that...
Is that Matt Damon?
Yeah.
Chicky Babe from Titanic.
Yes, yeah. Oh, yes, I think so. Yeah, I think she was in it. Absolutely brilliant. It's really on par with what's going on. And then, of course, you've got the good old Erin Brockovich when we're talking about this...
Toxins
in the
water and supply. Rules and how they get away with this stuff.
Yeah.
On average, it takes 50 years. Once they know something's bad for us, on average, I heard Robert F. Kennedy Jr. say this one day. Once they know something's bad, it on average takes 50 years to get it out of the population.
Mm.
50 years. And they usually rename things and all sorts of stuff along the way, you know, so that, and everything that is green and sustainable at the moment tends to mean genetically modified. Yes. So if something says sustainable, it's not healthy. It's not good for us. It's good for the big guys in World Economic Forum and United Nations and World Health. It's not us that they're worried about.
No.
Well, and I think people really need to start paying attention to these big corporations that really run our countries.
Absolutely, because remember their plan moving forward is we're going to have our allocated portion of, 10 to 15 grams of cricket protein?
Yes, 14 grams a day is what they want. Protein, yes, exactly.
14 grams, yeah. That's all we're going to be allowed of cricket protein.
Because I remember 10 years ago I was at a Metagenics conference and they recommended 28 grams of protein a day.
Yeah.
I was like, that's like two mouthfuls.
Yeah, that's
you
not
know,
even,
so.
Yeah.
And it's now that much. Billy Gates owns 78% of farmland in America, with Chinese the second biggest farmland holders in America, it's going to happen. You know, absolutely. You can just see the writing on the wall unless people start standing up and
well,
say
I think
no.
The only hope we've got, and I don't know exactly, I am hoping that the United Australia Party do elaborate a bit more on it, or perhaps Senator Roberts, I think I've heard both of them talk about it. But you know how Australia has signed a lot of leases with the Asian, with China and whatnot. I mean, they own a lot of dairy farms, speaking of that, that they own the airport in Western Australia. Oh, they're now planning on building another port for the ships in Darwin. We've got to build our own one for Australia because we've leased the other one to China. It's insane. However, I believe what they're hoping to do, because this was all done under the corporation government, not the constitutional original Commonwealth of Australia government, those leases may be null and void.
Right. So if someone who understands the policy or the lies that have been told in government, they might be able to undo some of that.
Potentially. That's where my thought pattern goes when I'm hearing them talking about how they're planning to fix this scenario.
Yes.
I don't know for sure yet, but that's
what I know that one of them, I can't remember whether it was Ricardo Bosi or Clive or I can't remember which one of our freedom guys, was talking to the Governor General who said, well, Aussies have voted with their feet and they've marched towards those vaccine, you know, to get their vaccine. So he's saying, no one gives a toss about the vaccine mandates. And whichever politician it was said, well, when you're mandated so that you can't feed your children and you can't keep your home,
it's not a choice, is it?
You make a bit of a choice that you wouldn't normally choose.
Yeah, that's it. This is it. And I mean, Clive Palmer's already come out and said, I am fortunate enough to be going to his national launch this weekend, which I'm really looking
fantastic.
Forward to, in Coolum. So I'll certainly give you some updates there on the exact policies that he's planning on rolling out. But I know he has already vocalised. The big one he's come out with, which I just saw a big billboard up the other day, is fixing the interest rates at 3% for 5 years.
Yes, because I know.
They've done the math, and he can say ultimately, and this was what myself and my husband have been worried about, our financial position, and fortunately we don't have a large mortgage and we work very hard to get it down, you know, because we anticipated if anything happens, you don't want to have that hanging over your head and have it your home taken away when you've got children to provide for and things. But yeah, and I just see all these young ones now. I mean, the first way out of any issue, economic problem we've ever had in this country, my father was a builder, it's always been to infrastructure, you know, build new infrastructure and get the economy booming again. Well, they've done it again this time. The new houses have boomed. You know, the price of housing has skyrocketed just the same. However, we've got a lot of young people who have got themselves in a situation now where they've got a mortgage they can't handle.
Yes. Oh, you know, absolutely.
I've been so concerned about this. I've been saying, how are they going to cope? I remember when I was younger, I was only my daughter's age, 5 or 6, early 80s, the last time interest rates in this country skyrocketed. I have vivid recollections of families and distraught people on the TV, albeit, but this was real, you know, in absolute disarray, the emotions that were involved in that, because they all lost their homes. I've seen it happen.
Yes.
You know, and I guess I'm old. I'm fortunate enough to be old enough to have witnessed that and to have remembered it.
Yes.
And that's what Clive is saying. He's done the math. And yeah, a lot of these young couples, if they so much get past 3% interest rate, I think he said it goes to 60% of people, mortgages will be, the banks will repossess.
Yeah. And everyone is in these monthly payments for everything. So when we were like 20 and looking at our first home loans, you didn't have $100 a month for your phone and $15 a month for Netflix. And, you know, everything's on a monthly thing, which, of course, comes back to World Economic Forum. You will own nothing and you will be happy.
Be happy, yeah.
You know, and that's what they're telling the young people. The young people don't expect to ever own anything because this is being drilled into them.
That's
right. And they don't have any leftover money once they do all of that.
No. And this is why they're going headlong into these massive mortgages without a fear in the world.
Yeah.
They just don't even see what's around the corner. They've been blindsided from the start.
Yes.
So, you know, and yeah, so Clive has come out and said that already.
Yes. I saw one of those yesterday.
One of his first policies, which is fantastic. So, yeah, and as he said, you won't hear in the Liberal or Labor's plan and their projected, you know, forecast, in their budget, you won't hear anything about that.
No, and obviously our Treasurer of Australia has only given a 6-month budget. When the hell did that ever happen?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Oh, my God.
That's a dead giveaway.
And, of course, Labor has given nothing yet.
No, well.
Oh, they're keeping.
I think I can make it real. I reckon I could do it for him. I could make it real simple for the Labor shadow treasurer. Just print more money. Wouldn't that count?
Yeah, that'll do it. That'll do it. Yeah. That's worked everywhere around the world. Oh, my goodness.
We'd just print more money.
Yeah.
Oh, all the Libs, was it ScoMo that was going to give $250 to people to ease the burden of rising living costs?
$250, that, you know, that will do nothing for what people have gone through.
That doesn't even pay for a week grocery bill in my household.
No, no. Well, one of my friends who she's on government payments, and because her government housing is privately owned, they get 70%. So 70% of her government money goes to the private housing, which has been, you know, called government housing. So, which is against everything that the government was supposed to set up going back 20, 30 years ago with government housing. It was supposed to be a maximum of like 30% of what comes in, but privately they get away with different stuff. And because petrol has gone up so much lately, she's had to reduce her food cost to $30 a fortnight, a week, a fortnight. Anyway, it's, and she's like budgeting the crap out of herself to be able to afford to live at the moment. Just shocking.
I'm just very grateful on the age I am. And I really feel for younger people, you know, that can't really do much about it because they're trying to get a job and get a start in life.
Yes.
And they can't even get traction.
So I hope people really do think about who they're going to vote for in this upcoming election, because I agree. Like, even if you have, you prefer Labor over Liberal or Liberal over Labor or Nats over them or Greens, put them all last. You know, get some of those minors in there. We've got to have other perspectives. People don't even realise how little a choice they have.
And it's that bad at the moment. I think we can confidently say a lot of people might be hesitant to vote for somebody they're unsure of, or they, you know, they feel they don't know enough about. Can it get any worse?
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, it's worth it. We're in a situation now where I think it's a fair bet. It's worth having a go and voting for someone that you may not know.
Well, our Labor leaders in Australia, the premiers, have shown that they are totally loving their totalitarianism. They have shown that without a doubt. Well, did Liberals you see aren't far behind them.
Oh, absolutely. Did you see the recent interview of Yvette Darth? Oh, good old.
Oh, Queensland my gosh. Saying we don't know why
certain Yeah.
Sometimes this stuff just happens.
Yeah, it just happens.
Mm. Oh, my goodness. Absolutely. Okay. Well, we better finish up, Amanda.
Yes.
And fantastic. Thank you. I love the concept that you've been in the natural world for such a long time and you've added in, and especially the medical ethics. Oh, my God. You know, because to me, every time I see anyone talking about ethics, I think, yeah, you douchebags. You know, it's just
unbelievable. Yeah. It's, you know, and it's funny to think I've now spent 9 years of my life studying and I'm still going at this stage, but I feel like I'm back where I started.
Yeah.
And that I do often wonder, I mean, I hope that I do get to the point where I'm able to scan, because the saddening part of it is I'm going to be scanning all these vaccine-imaged individuals.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know.
And we need experts moving forward. You know, I've sort of thought about the naturopaths that I know who have chosen not to pay attention the last 2 years, who have chosen to keep their jobs and get jabbed and do what they need to do so that life is easy. But nonetheless, if they don't understand the damage that's happening with these jabs, they're not going to have a clue what's happening with their clients. They will have no idea.
That's right. Well, I'm hoping my plans moving forward, I do have a goal. Now they are sort of getting more medical imaging staff involved in research than ever before.
Oh, wow, fantastic.
So I'm hoping that that would be for me. I would really love to be able to partake in a trial, you know, to actually put two and two together. Because I have that knowledge and that experience, if I see the same issues in people when I'm scanning them, you know, performing ultrasounds, and if I see these same problems and I know what questions to ask of a patient, I'll be able to determine straight away. I can find the links, you know. So if I could get involved with researchers who are prepared to publish that research and that data to find these links, that would be fantastic.
Yeah, well, Dr. Ryan Cole, I'm sure you've listened to some of his work. He's a pathologist in the US, and he was saying that I think someone was interviewing him from Australia, And he was saying that we don't have any qualified people to do autopsies who know what's going on, unless it's really obvious that it's jab damage. We don't have the qualifications. We don't have the expertise here in Australia to, even if someone was open enough to want to find out the cause. Yeah. And the government is, of course, and the World Health and UN, they're all saying don't do autopsies. And they have been for 2.5 years. You know, they did not want autopsies in all of these places. So thank God there's been renegades out there, like Dr. Ryan Cole. He's a bloody dynamo, you know, who have been speaking about what they've been seeing.
That's right.
You know? And I think, once again, thinking hopefully, if people know the rates of cancer are going up, the rates of heart disease and aneurysms and strokes, and then we can start looking after our bodies and look at our own weaknesses and then start working on our own health, because there are answers.
Oh, look, there has to be. You know, we've just got to find them.
Yes.
And I can assure you that natural medicine will lead the way.
I totally agree. Totally agree.
Any drug that's ever been developed has always been a manufactured scientific version of the main constituent of a natural plant in existence anyway. So, you know, as I said, back to square one.
Yeah.
But, of course, they want to patent it. That's where the problems come in.
Exactly. Because without patents, you get no money.
That's right.
Exactly.
Yeah, follow the money.
Okay. Well, beautiful. Thank you so much for joining me today, Amanda, and I'm sure we'll talk soon.
We will. Thanks, Madonna.
Thank you. Enjoy your holidays with your kids.
Yeah, will do. Okay.
Okay. Bye.
Bye.